You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
As a movement, as a church, we're all for the next generation. In fact, we value the next generation. That's why we're having this series, for us to understand that the next generation is valuable. They are important, okay? And that's why this series is called Generationship. This series, Generationship, is all about understanding the importance of multi-generation relationships. That is to say, people from different generations working together to honor God and advance His kingdom. Because oftentimes, you know, when we look at people from different generations, we might have negative stereotypes or perspective towards them. So the older generation, we look at them as outdated, obsolete, or you know, delete techie or savvy or something like that. Some people have that mindset towards the older generation. And towards the younger generation, man, the next gen, some people have this negative mindset that they are lazy, they're selfish, they're immature or arrogant. Okay, there there's different mindsets being thrown, negative mindsets. And the thing is, you have both generations looking down on one another. And that's a sad reality, or that's a sad picture right there. Because the truth is, what a beautiful picture it would be, you know, if both those generations, the older one and the younger one, would work together to honor God. In fact, that's how God wants it to happen. Right? Those people from different generations working together. And that's why we're having this series, for us to understand all the more why it's important for multiple generations to work together. Just a quick recap about this series. On the first week, we look at the negative consequences when generations fail to work together. Okay, we look at the story of Saul and Jonathan for that. And for this week naman, we look at the positive consequences or effects when the different generations would work together. And for that, we look at the story of David and Solomon. Okay, that's David, the guy, the giant slayer, the guy who defeated Goliath, and his son Solomon. Okay, Solomon was known for his wisdom, was known for his riches, his wealth, that kind of Solomon. Okay, we look at their story. Okay, this is basically towards the last few years of King David's reign, and just before Solomon would become king. Okay, and we look at that specific story. And for that, or for our main passage, we look at 1 Chronicles chapters 22, verses 5 to 13. So this will be our main passage for today. So let me just read to this passage and we'll unpack from the verses that we're going to read. In verse 5, it says here, "For David said, Solomon my son is young and inexperienced, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent of fame and glory throughout all lands. I will therefore make preparation for it. So David provided materials in great quantity before his death. Verse 6, "Then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord, the God of Israel. David said to Solomon, my son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord, my God. But the word of the Lord came to me saying, you have shed much blood and have waged great wars. You shall not build a house to my name because you have shed so much blood before me on the earth. Behold, a son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quiet to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish his royal throne in Israel forever." Verse 11, "Now my son, the Lord be with you, so that you may succeed in building the house of the Lord your God, as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and of the rules that the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed." So, we have this story of David. Okay, he's nearing the end of his reign. And what happened is, David wanted to build a house for the Lord, because again, just a quick context for the Israelites. Okay, their place of worship, their place of meeting God, offering sacrifice to God for the longest time was a place called the Tabernacle. Okay, this was made during the time of Moses. Okay, God revealed certain plans to Moses. Nga muni ang my church sa Tabernacle. This is where you will meet me. This is where you will worship me and offer sacrifices. But then several years later, during the time of David, David wanted to build a house for the Lord. Okay, a palace, okay, a place of worship, okay, a temple for God. But God said that it would not be David who would build him his house. Okay, in fact, David told Solomon that he was disqualified from doing so because he had waged many great wars, or he was very much preoccupied with warfare throughout his reign. And God wanted someone who he didn't shed so much blood, okay, or in the battlefield. Muna nga person, dili ka na nga person ang mag-build house niya. And that is why Solomon was chosen to build the house of the Lord. Okay, in verse 7, David said to Solomon, "My son, I had it in my heart to build a house to the name of the Lord my God." Okay, he wanted to do so, but God told him it would be his son. It would be Solomon. In fact, verse specific says here, "Behold, a son shall be born to you." This is God speaking to David. Who'll be a man of rest. I will give him rest from all his surrounding enemies, for his name shall be Solomon. So again, very specific that Solomon would be the guy who would lead the project of building a house for the Lord. And very interesting ang response to David, ani, of this whole thing. I mean, David is the guy known as the man after God's own heart. Okay, he loves God, even though he's flawed as well. He committed sins against God. Okay, he did something terrible as well. But this is a guy who really wanted to honor and worship God. He wanted to do great things for God. But God chose his son to be the one to build his house. And David's response to all of this was very interesting. In verse 5, says here, David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced." Okay, he knows his son Solomon at this point is young. It's not specific how young, but young enough na he would say that he is inexperienced. In fact, the word inexperienced here means tender or soft. Okay, it's the complete opposite. If you've heard of the term na hardened veterans, you know, someone who is very skillful at his craft, at his sport, or a warrior or soldier who's very much experienced in combat, you know, Solomon is the complete opposite to that. He's inexperienced. He's not as wise yet at this point of his life as in his later years. Okay, and David keeps on saying that the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent. Okay, it's great. This is a big project. It is of fame and glory throughout all the lands. David is basically saying that, okay, this is my son Solomon. He's young. He's inexperienced. And this is the project. It is like the biggest, most important project there is so far. And this is my son. He's going to lead it. And you know, if we were Solomon, if we were David, perhaps our response would have been siguro, "Lord, sure ka si Solomon ipalid ani." I mean, David could have responded that way. David could have said, "Lord, I think I should be the one to do this. I mean, I'm David, the guy who you used to defeat Goliath, the guy who conquered warfare. My son Solomon, didn't kaya niya. He's young and inexperienced." But to David's credit, he says here in verse 5, he says, "I will therefore make preparation." David's response to all of these things, that Solomon was chosen, he would be the one to lead it later on. His response was, "I will therefore make preparation for it." It says here, so David provided materials in great quantity before his death. What an amazing response to the next generation. This older current generation is saying, you know what? God has great plans, purposes for my son, for the next generation. You know what? I'll do my part that they will succeed, or he will succeed, okay? In Solomon's specific case, okay? He says, "I will make preparation for it." You see, David understood and accepted that God wanted to accomplish things through Solomon. He knows the weaknesses, the flaws in Solomon, not experience, but rather than just complain or use it to disqualify Solomon, okay? He used what he had to prepare, to compensate, to set up Solomon to succeed. Okay? He used whatever platforms, resources he had in his disposal to prepare Solomon, that Solomon would be able to accomplish God's call in his life. Okay? In fact, David would prepare this in two different ways, or in three different ways rather. Okay, the first is David provided what Solomon needed to fulfill God's command. This talk about is the material preparations. Okay, you see, David prepared a great quantity of materials to be ready for Solomon to be used in building the temple. Firstly, okay, I'm just gonna summarize. Okay, some of the materials mentioned in this passage, in this chapter, and in the other chapters of the First Chronicles as well. It says here, he provided great quantities of iron for nails and wood for the gates as well. Bronze that's beyond weighing, timber, okay, 100 talents of gold. Now, if you're wondering what a talent is, it's a unit of weight or measurement in their time. And it's roughly around 35 kilograms or so. So it says here, he provided 100,000 talents, okay, or meaning 100,000 times around 35 kilograms, okay, of gold, 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond weighing. This is a lot of gold, silver, and bronze for the house of the Lord. Not just that, okay, he also gave onyx, antimony, colored stones, precious stones, marble, and from his own personal treasury, if the first set of gold and silver and bronze were from the nation, okay, this one is from his own personal treasury, his own wealth. David offered up 3,000 talents worth of gold, 7,200 talents of refined silver. So that's a lot of materials. David prepared all of these things to be used by Solomon when he would build the temple. Okay, so here's a question for us. Are we setting up platforms or traps for the next generation? Okay. In fact, do we see the potential, the plans, the purposes God has for this next generation, for these young students, for these young people? Okay, if you're a parent, you're someone's older, okay, you're working right now, do we see that potential? Do we see that in the next generation that kani mga young people, God wants to use them mightily? Do we have that mindset? Okay, and are we using platforms to set them up to succeed? Or are we setting traps? Are we belittling them? Are we neglecting or ignoring or disregarding them from the important issues or from the transforming of our nation ba? Do we see the potential in the next generation? You see, David saw that God was going to use his son, and he prepared him for that. And not just that, not just on the material aspect, but after in verse 6, where he called Solomon, his son, and charged him to build a house for the Lord, meaning, he gave him his assignment, he commissioned him, okay, parang Solomon, this is your mission, you're going to build a house for the Lord. After that, okay, David also did something important. In verse 17, says here, David commanded all the leaders of Israel to help Solomon. In other words, David prepared people to support Solomon. So not just materially, but even in terms of people. Okay? He prepared the people, not just the leaders of Israel. In fact, in chapter 22, in verse 15, David said to Solomon, "You have an abundance of workmen, stone cutters, masons, carpenters, all kinds of craftsmen without number, skilled in working." He's talking about the people who will build the temple, okay, the workmen. But not just the workmen lang. You see, David also organized, okay, the people who would basically run the temple, okay? It's like David is preparing the materials used for a church building and as well as the people who would handle the church service. Okay, muna gibot ni David. Okay, he says here he organized the Levites. These are the people where the priest would come from, okay, from this whole tribe. He also organized the priests as well. The musicians, meaning nagalid sa worship nila, of course. The gatekeepers, these are like the people who would man the gates, who kung kisa pwede mo sulod sa temple. And they're like the facilities admin as well at this time. They do the maintenance as well. And the treasurers, the officials, the military division, the tribe leaders, all these people, David organized that they would all support Solomon as well and in the building and the preparation of the temple. So, a quick question for us is, are we telling people the value of the next generation? Are we, rallying people to support, to invest, to equip, to mentor, to coach, to teach the next generation? Okay, are we doing that, older current generation ba? Okay, are we doing the same thing David is doing? The third thing we can learn from this story is that in 1 Chronicles chapters 22, verse 11 to 13, okay, the last parts of David's private conversation with Solomon, he says here, "Now my son, the Lord be with you so that you may succeed in the building the house of the Lord your God as he has spoken concerning you. Only may the Lord grant you this discretion, understanding that when he gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law, the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules that the Lord commanded Moses." So David is not just preparing Solomon in terms of material, finances, workforce, or something like that. He's also reminding Solomon, "My son, yes, you've been commissioned to do this, but guess what? Be faithful to obey and follow God's commands." It's also preparing him spiritually speaking. It says here in verse 13, "Then you will prosper if you are careful to observe the statutes and the rules the Lord commanded Moses for Israel. Be strong and courageous. Fear not. Do not be dismayed." It's similar to what God spoke to Joshua when Joshua was about to conquer the promised land for Israel. God told Joshua, "Be strong, be courageous, follow my commandments. Do not depart or forget from this book of the law, and you will prosper." The same thing ginaingon ni David kang Solomon this time. Do not neglect God. Yes, you have these resources. You have this workforce ready for you. But do not forget God. Do not abandon God, or do not abandon His rules, His commandments, okay? His book of the law. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 19, David also was praying to Solomon. Okay, he says here, "Grant to Solomon, my son, a whole heart that he may keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, performing all, and that he may build the palace for which I have made provision. So giprihan po niya, gibless po niya ang anak niya. Okay, so meaning what we can learn here is that David prayed for Solomon and he prepared him spiritually speaking as well. He reminded them, Solomon, obey the Lord. Okay, follow God. Do not abandon God. And the same thing with us. Okay, we talk about reaching out and preparing and equipping and setting up the next generation to succeed. Yes, importante ang material investments, ilaha, possessions, pag-equip, pag-train, pag-coach nila, but not just head knowledge and not just material possessions. There's also a spiritual need as well. We need to disciple, we need to reach out the next generation, we need to preach the gospel to the next generation. Okay? There's a need for the next generation to hear of God and the gospel, of what God has done for them. Well, that is why we're having our youth service online. Okay, if you're not familiar, every Friday 7 p.m. we have our youth service. Okay, so meaning apart from our Sunday services, we have a service for our students every Friday 7 p.m. So you can invite your student friends there as well. And not just that, that's why we have digital victory groups. The online is done through video calls. Even amidst this pandemic, we're trying to find ways to still continue do discipleship, still try to reach out to students. Why? Because it's important for us to do so. The students need to hear of God and the gospel. So if you're someone here, you're doing that. You're doing discipleship. You're reaching out to the students. Thank you so much for doing so. If you're a victory group leader, or you're doing one-to-one with someone, or trying to reach out someone, or preach the gospel to them, or you've been trying to invite someone, a next generation, a student, to our services, thank you so much for doing so, okay? Do not neglect, do not look down on your efforts. No, importante na siya, okay? Bringing the next generation to God is important, okay? And bringing the gospel message to the next generation is important, is valuable as well, okay? David reminded Solomon the importance of following God. The same way sa atua, maybe remind the next generation to follow and obey God's commands and His word as well. Okay? So, that being said as well, maybe be reminded as well to pray for the students and the campus, okay? Our campuses. Let's pray for them as much as we pray for our nation, or the church, the other nations, and our personal breakthroughs. Let's pray for the campuses as well. Let's pray for our students. Let's pray for the young people and, you know, and for whatever challenges they may be going through right now. Now, just to summarize our story right now, okay, if we were to fast forward, okay, what happened after this? David prepared beforehand the materials, the workforce, as well as he prayed for Solomon and he reminded them not to abandon God, but to seek God, to follow His commandments, okay? What happened as a result of this? Okay, what happened to Solomon? We're in 2 Chronicles, we're in the first few chapters, talks about Solomon trying to build a temple. In chapter 7, verse 11, we have this verse, and it says here, okay, after Solomon was praying, in verse 11, thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house, all that Solomon had planned to do so in the house of the Lord and in his own house, he successfully accomplished. Think about that. Solomon was able to accomplish building the house of the Lord, the temple for the Lord, okay, the place of worship for God. All that God had instructed David, the plans for it, all that David prepared for Solomon, and all the things God wanted for his house to be accomplished, Solomon was able to do that. He was also able to accomplish something for his own house. The point is, na-accomplish ni Solomon, na-build niya ang temple. Not all by his own, of course, with all the preparations na gibot ni David. But the point is, for that partnership of those different generations, from the older generation and towards the next one, you see this amazing product or result being done. The temple of the Lord was completed through these multiple generations working together. Okay, that's why it's important for us, church, to work together. Okay, that's why multi-generational relationships are important. Okay, do not neglect the younger generation and do not neglect the older generation as well, mga young people. Okay, so what does this mean for us, ba? Okay. Just a quick application for all of us, okay? Coming from the story of David and Solomon, what does this mean for us? Firstly, for the older generation, okay, for us working na, and those of you older, if you're a parent, okay, and even if you don't have a kid, okay, you might think, what does this have to do with me? Wala mo kay anak, okay? But here's the thing, you may not have a child, but if you're of the older generation, you're working, even if you're single, you're not married, guess what? There's always a next generation after you. You either have younger siblings, cousins, or na kayo mga pagumangkon, okay? Basta ninong-ninong na ka. The point is, there's always a next generation after you. And, you know, your life will either set them up to succeed or you will make them stumble. So that being said, if we want to do something for the next generation, to the older generation, may we invest in the next generation. Okay, just like David, but like all that he did, may we invest in the next generation. To all our ministry partners as well, to all the people who are doing so in their own way, in investing, in blessing, in reaching out the next generation, thank you so much for doing so. And for the next generation, for the upcoming, okay, next generation, mga young people, okay, mga students, what this means for you is to appreciate the older generation. Okay? To not disregard, neglect, or scoff at, okay, the older generation, the people have gone ahead of you. You see, looking back at the story of David and Solomon, despite all that David did, Solomon could have simply ignored or disregarded all that David had prepared for him. He could have said, King David, pa, okay, you're old, okay, you're dying, okay, ako na bahala ni. I don't like the way you're organizing these people or these materials. I can do a better job. So what if I'm young and inexperienced, okay? I don't care if you're David the Giant Slayer, whatever. He could have responded that way. He could have, you know, refused all that David did, but he didn't, okay? He used what David prepared beforehand. He worked with the preparation his father did. Okay, so what this means for you, mga young people, is do not be quick to dismiss the wisdom, knowledge, teachings, and other things that the older generation is imparting to you. Okay, so again, appreciate nato ang mga older generation. Okay, those people have gone ahead of us, whether it be your parents, your teachers, your uncles, aunts, okay, even your grandparents, okay. There are things we can still learn from those who have gone ahead of us. Balag mas tech savvy or updated with internet information ka, with Google and all of these things, or Wikipedia or whatever. You know what? There's still nuggets of wisdom and valuable information that we can learn from those who have gone ahead of us. Okay? Now, I'm going to wrap this up with a quick story of what happens when we disregard, you know, the wisdom or the things that we can learn from the older generation, or when two generations, okay, don't work together hand in hand. I know we talked a lot about this on the previous installment, but there's this amazing contrast between David and Solomon and Solomon's next in line with the elders. Okay, you see, David and Solomon, it represents this seamless transition between one generation to the next. Okay, one generation setting up the next one. But what happened after the reign of Solomon, when his son was about to become king or became king na, okay, it resulted in a tragedy. Okay, in 1 Kings chapter 12 verse 6 to 8 says here, King Rehoboam, that's one of the sons of Solomon, took counsel with the old men who had stood before Solomon, his father, while he was yet alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" And they said to him, because there was these people who was asking Rehoboam to lighten their load, because they felt like para lang forced labor, para lang nahimong slaves again, just like they were once in Egypt. So they were asking Rehoboam, lighten our load, lighten the things you're making us do. And Rehoboam asked this to the elders, to the wise men. And they said to him, "If you will be a servant to these people today and serve them and speak good words to them, when you answer them, they will be your servants forever." So they're giving him wise counsel. But it says here in verse 8, "But he abandoned the counsel that the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men who had grown up with him and stood before him." So Rehoboam abandoned the wise counsel of the men who once stood with Solomon, and because of his actions, it eventually led to the split of the entire nation. Okay, naimong two kingdoms instead of one na siya. So I'm sharing this story to remind us, or just to show us the importance or the consequences when generations either work together or don't work together. If we work together, we will accomplish great things, just like David and Solomon. If we don't work together, like Rehoboam and the elders, tragedies will happen. Negative consequences will happen. Not just in our own city, but could happen in our nation as well and in the world as well. The point is, multiple generations should work together to honor God and advance His kingdom. Right? That's why we're having this series, Generationship. So I hope you're encouraged with that. I hope you're encouraged to work together with those who are younger or older than you, okay, in honoring God and advancing His kingdom.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorytumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.